This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Steph, you tell me, before we get into Take-A-Mania, should this be treated as breaking news? The Yankees are allowing facial hair for the first time in 49 years. George Steinbrenner? Officially dead.
Oh.
He's kicked dirt on his grave.
One of the dumbest policies in all of sport.
Discipline.
Was treating the New York Yankees like they were young naval officers. Yeah. And not allowed to have facial hair. Yeah. You know who's happier about this than anybody? It's probably Garrett Cole's
wife. I was just going to say, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, some guys, women like their guys with a little scruff, and Garrett Cole looks better with a little bit of scruff.
100%.
And now he's finally free to be Garrett Cole.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
There's nothing magical about the reason the policy came about is almost exactly why you figured it would have. I thought it might have been some anti-hippie rant or something Steinbrenner had back in the day. He said he believed that regulating his players' appearance would instill a sense of discipline. Yeah. Steinbrenner began noting which players he believed needed haircuts when he took over the Yankees in 1973.
Oh, that's funny. He made a list, huh?
But the policy was not codified until 3 years later in 1976. Yeah, because their hair couldn't touch their collars, too.
Wow.
So it wasn't just the facial hair. You couldn't have long, long hair either.
Steinbrenner had a big military background, did he not?
Did he?
I thought he did. I may be wrong on that. Well, at least as a baseball owner, I guess he did. I don't know. I'll look it up later. All right, let's get to this. So every Friday we've started doing this now. There's so many bad takes out
there. Sorry. He went to Culver Military Academy, and then he was a second lieutenant in the Air Force.
That's so what I thought. I thought he was. So I didn't know the specifics, so thank you for that. Culver Military Academy, Indiana. Yeah. So we've started doing this at 9 o'clock on Fridays, especially during the off season here for football. It's a good time to do it. Bad takes. There are a lot of them out there. And so we've started treating it. I kind of like the way we treat this. Like there's a defending champ each week. For a while, it was Ross Tucker, whose take about, not even really a take, but just his expression of his methodology of possibly torpedoing business at restaurants so he could get reservations.
It was a take because he suggested other people should do that. Is if you really like a restaurant, tell anybody about it then you won't be able to get reservations.
It was a take.
It'll get too popular.
It was a take. All right, now so he was defeated last week. He was pinned 1-2-3 right in the middle of the ring by Angelo Cataldi, legendary broadcaster in Philadelphia, who said that Andy Reid is a fraud.
Let me let your audience in on a little secret, all right? Because most of the country will argue this to the death. Andy Reid is way overrated as a coach, all right? Andy Reid was in Philadelphia 14 years. He won 0 championships. Doug Peterson was here 5. He won 1. Nick Sirianni's been here 4. He won 1. The only reason Andy Reid was winning big games in KC was because he had this mastermind, Mahomes, making up plays on the run and doing brilliant stuff. The only reason Mahomes didn't do that yesterday is he had no time to do it. And Andy Reid could not figure out a way to give him time to do it. And the truth is, Mahomes is a stud. Mahomes is a great player despite yesterday. Zach, no argument. Reid... The all-time fraud of American sports is Andy Reid.
All-time fraud.
He's all-time fraud. And mind you, three of his championships did come where Pat Mahomes was not playing his vintage, or two of his three championships with Kansas City came without Pat Mahomes playing vintage MVP caliber football.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like, it's just, so yeah, the fraud part, when he started off with overrated, I'm like, all right, I'll listen. Because yeah, sure. Are we talking like, okay, he's not as good as Belichick, or he's not as good as Bill Walsh or whatever. But yeah, fraud, come on.
This is going to be a tough champ to topple here, all right? Yeah. Angelo Cataldi. All right, so here we go. These are the contenders. This is the gauntlet Angelo Cataldi has to run today to remain the worst take artist in America. Tristan Casas, first baseman for the Boston Red Sox. We know that the Red Sox have a bit of a controversy going on right now. They signed Alex Bregman, who is one of the best third basemen defensively in baseball. Rafael Devers, one of the worst, doesn't want to give up his position. So Tristan Casas, who is now a teammate to both of them, mind you, not just Rafael Devers, had this to say when he was asked how he thought that should play out.
I think it's Rafi Devers' position. I think he's the third baseman, and at that point, that's where it stands. And he's done it for, you know, a really long time now. And I think he's only getting better at that position. I think his defense is getting better every single year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know it holds Rafi Devers. So yeah. I think he's got to play defense. It's going to keep him athletic. And he's going to hit because of, you know, him being at third base. He doesn't know any other position. He doesn't want to play any other position. And he's going to fight for it, even if it's with any of the younger guys, any new guy. I mean, I think he's the best third baseman in the league. I wouldn't take anybody over him. So I think he should play third base. Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of those things where Casas apparently has a reputation as a guy that just talks a lot. Yeah. And he'll just hold court. And I saw some Red Sox fans angrily saying, well, it's his opinion and he's entitled to it. As you pointed out, Sean, the easiest thing in the world for a player like this in something like this is to say, well, you know what? It's a decision that other people are going to figure out. I'm just going to support whoever, all of these guys, no matter where they play. It got worse and worse as he went along. Because then he started saying that he's improving and that he's gotten better. No, he hasn't. He's actually gotten worse. He's been worse than his best year as a third baseman. And then he says he's the best third baseman in the league. No, he's the best hitter who plays third base.
Yep.
He's not the best third baseman in the league.
Right. So the question becomes, Seth, is saying that Rafael Devers is an actual good defensive third baseman and the best third baseman in the league a worse take than Andy Reid being the biggest fraud in American sports?
No, because ultimately his motivation is at least it comes from a good place. He's misguided, but it comes from a good place where he thinks he's one of these guys that I think that thinks he's supporting a teammate but doesn't realize that you're actually just adding fuel to the fire and you're not helping anybody out. So at least his comes from a good place where Cataldi's comes from pure pettiness and spite.
All right, so Tristan Casas is pinning Angelo Cataldi.
Can he do it? Cover!
He kicked out. Angelo Cataldi
That's
kicks out. He's still the.
You can get.
He's still the champ. All right, let's keep it moving. Draymond Green, why he hates the format of the All-Star Game that involves the rising stars, young players being welcomed into being a part of this new All-Star format.
You work all year to be an All-Star, and you get to play up to 40, and then you're done. This is so unfair to Victor Wembanyama, who just took this game really seriously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just took this game really seriously. When you talk about chasing after the points records, Melo, Kobe, and all these guys who've had great scoring nights, they don't get the opportunity to do that with this game. Also, we can watch some rising stars. We're about to watch the Olympic team. Now we get the treat of watching the Olympic team play against a U19 team. Come on, what are we doing? This is ridiculous.
Yeah, Kenny's team is done, by the way. Chuck won. Kenny's team was
Sorry,
the one that's eliminated.
Yes.
Yeah, so SGA's still in it, Victor in it. But you're talking about the scoring records that we've heard. Tatum leading all scores, 55 a few years ago. It's harder to catch
them. They can't do that. They don't get to etch their name in the history books. It's the reason you get an all-star, Kobe Bryant all-star MVP award.
Scale of 1 to 10, your thoughts of the format?
10 being the best.
Yes.
A 0. Sucks. same basketball.
Okay.
Okay, this is the problem, though. I think he makes valid points.
Makes valid points, yeah.
The take itself isn't necessarily bad at all. It's the hypocrisy of Draymond Green.
There you go.
Being one of the guys who took the All-Star game with such low seriousness that the league has resorted to gimmicky stuff like this.
Well, and
that's the part that was annoying.
And record, the scoring record in the All-Star game, as if it's some hallowed record. Like, does anybody know? Like, I don't know. I love basketball. I used to love the All-Star game. Citing the scoring record in the All-Star game and bragging about that is like bragging about having the high score at a Papa Shot at a bar somewhere.
It's like, okay, the scoring record, is there an asterisk next to that because it was in the era where they stopped playing defense whatsoever. Right?
Yeah.
It might as well be a free throw competition.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And yet, is that worse than Cataldi saying Andy Reid is the biggest fraud in American sports?
No, it puts Draymond, it's a bad human being take, but not a bad take in and of itself.
Yep. All right.
Can he do it? Cover! Oh, and a kick out!
Kick out by Cataldi. Kicks out again. He remains the champ. All right, he's got two more challengers here. This will be a quick one. This is personal to me. Micah Shrewsbury, the head coach of Notre Dame basketball, went on this rant when Louisville beat Notre Dame at home in front of a crowd that included way more Louisville fans. He started making promises at the end here.
We're going to get this thing rolling. I sat there and watched more Louisville fans in here than Notre Dame people, and that's embarrassing. That's embarrassing for me. Because I'm the head coach here. And yes, it's my, I got us in this predicament. But don't come back when we're losing or when we're winning. Because we're turning this around, man. You better believe that. Everybody that gave up on me, believe it. Write this date down and believe it. Because we're going to get this thing rolling. Care if you gave up on me or not.
Yeah. Yeah, they lost. Okay. They lost Wednesday after that rant at home to SMU by 24.
This is one that can only be judged after the fact. You have to see what happens, because it could end up being one of the best takes of all time. If they rebound, maybe even after this last game, maybe they rebound from it and have a hell of a. The one thing that I really give him a bad mark on is he said for all the people who questioned me.
Yeah,
he didn't say questioned us.
Yeah,
he's like questioned me. All right, man, you're the coach. All right. I'm sure you preach team and we're all in this together and everything. Like, all right, don't make it all about you.
He also did the bad thing you can't do. When you're going on a rant and you're on one, like he started to get on one there at the end. He started calm and started crescendoing. He said, don't come back when we're losing. I mean winning. Like, you know, you know, that
just happens to the best of
them. It does, but it takes the starch out of a promo. Like, you know, that's it just is. And yeah.
We'll have to save that till the end of the basketball season,
maybe.
And then we can maybe reassess it. If they lose every game by 20 points, then he might be able to contend with Cataldi.
Good call. He wasn't even pinning Cataldi on that one, Ben. Like, Shrewsbury just jumped out of the ring and walked back to the dressing room. All right, now this is an interesting one. This is the last one. This one needs to be set up, okay? You're going to hear from Mad Dog Russo here. He's not the one with the bad take. His colleague Stephen A. Smith, who you're also going to hear, is the one with the bad take. Here is Mad Dog Russo complaining about the Dodgers' $391 million payroll.
How are you supposed to compete when a team has got four or five times your payroll and you can sit there and say, well, why can't the Pirates spend $392 million? Well, the Dodgers get $321 million a year from TV contracts. The Pirates don't get that kind of money. So it's an inequity in the revenue stream. And that's the problem with these payrolls. Football, they all make the same amount of money. Basketball, they all make the same amount of money. That means Green Bay can win. That means the Kings can win in basketball. Hockey, same thing. Doesn't work that way in baseball. And I don't know how they're going to correct it. There's no salary cap forthcoming. Look at this payroll. Yeah. I mean, and you know what the payroll is of the Marlins?
What?
$43 million.
Wow.
How are you supposed to compete, Steve? Take the hell, help me here.
Okay,
393 to 43. What's the answer?
Wow.
The reason why he's going, Steve, help me here, is like Stephen A. had a look on his face like he didn't really want to delve into this topic. He's like, Steve, help me here. He just looked kind of disinterested. He looked kind of disinterested, right? And so we're gonna play Stephen A.'s take as the bad part of this take. So I don't think that's a bad take. I think that's a very generic take. Like, these teams have too much money. These teams don't have enough money, right?
It's a classic a classic rant. Yeah.
So here is Stephen A.'s counterpoint to Mad Dog Russo.
Well, no. But you're thinking a worst-case scenario, which you just highlighted, the 393 compared to the 43. What you're not thinking about is, yes, they spend, but they also develop. and they're also opportunistic. For example, Mookie Betts, the Boston Red Sox could have paid him. They chose not to. You look at Freddie Freeman, the Atlanta Braves could have paid him. They chose not to. You look at Shohei Ohtani, the Angels didn't even try to match that. I'm simply saying that there are other teams, in not many, but there are several other teams who could have paid these people and wanted to do things differently and have no hardware to show for it. You got to take that into consideration and then ask yourself this question. Let's say for the sake of argument that Mookie Betts was getting paid the same salary, but he was in Boston. And Freddie Freeman was getting paid the same, but he was in Atlanta. He stayed in Atlanta. Okay? If you've got other players spread throughout where there are enough teams to pay somebody like that, then you can't complain. The fact is that the Dodgers have the money, but they're not the only team that have money. You said it. The Mets payroll is $320 million. The Yankees have money. The Boston Red Sox have money. Other teams have money as well. They're just choosing not to spend and go for it. That's on them.
The part where he's listing the players being able to stay with their teams, it's like, no,
yeah.
But the Dodgers are signing all of them.
Yeah, they have 50% more revenue than the Astros.
Right.
You know, like the actual revenue is just that much higher.
Right.
And then he's bringing up the Mets have spent. Mets have spent. So that, I guess that buttresses his point because, okay, you could say they just haven't spent as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's very few teams that can actually stockpile players the way the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets can.
He's making Mad Dog's point, which Mad Dog's point wasn't just about the Dodgers. It was about the top heaviness of baseball. And he's making the point like, okay, who else can spend? And by the way, even some of the teams he names, not that I'm crying poverty for the Red Sox or anything, but like some of these teams can't go to 390 million. Even some of the richer teams, like the Astros are typically like a top six payroll. Like they're in the tippy top compared to most of the rest of the league. They can't go to $390 million when you factor in the luxury tax on top of that.
That's where, and that's the revenue is 50% higher for the teams like the Yankees and the Dodgers. It's just that the Houston's payroll right now is at $204 million.
Yep.
The Dodgers is at $313
million. Yeah.
You know, like they would not be able to keep up with all the luxury tax and everything that teams like those huge market teams.
So the question is, Stephen A. Smith, he's got Cataldi pinned to the mat right now for worst take.
Yeah.
Does Cataldi kick out, or do we have a new champion, Seth?
No, partly because Stephen A. Smith did a good job of convoluting things
He did.
I was kind of
he's excellent at that.
He almost made like three or four points there, hoping that one of them would stick.
Yeah.
So, no. Cataldi's the king.
Can he do it? Cover! Oh, and a kick out!
Cataldi's still the champ. The winner and still.
And Cataldi, if Cataldi had just stuck to overrated and not fraudulent, it wouldn't have been as bad a take. I mean, he ignored the fact that, Cataldi's bringing up that, he had Pat Mahomes as his quarterback. Yeah, and when Reed had Donovan McNabb as his quarterback, he went to four NFC Championship games. I'm guessing Cataldi isn't a huge Donovan McNabb fan.
Right.
You know, I'm guessing he doesn't think he's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played.
Correct.
And that Andy Reid squandered his talent and ability.
All right, so Angelo Cataldi, still the bad take champion of the world here on Payne and Pendergast. All right, coming up next, the Texans. They're going to the combine next week. They're going to have to start making some decisions here pretty soon. The league year will be starting, which means free agency starts before we know it. It's starting less than 2 weeks after we get back from Astros spring training. They're going to have to open up some cap space to make some improvements. Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle has a really good informative piece on the ways that they can do it. How likely do we think they are to do some of the things that Jonathan is recommending in this piece? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, you know what? Between now and the end of the show, in all seriousness, we've had some really good texts, some funny texts about what Seth and I should wear to the Astros games to look like old-timey scouts. If you want to text in suggestions, what do you want to hear from us? Like, what do you want us to have eyes on out there at spring training that you'd like us to pop on the other shows and discuss or give you some insight on? If you want to text into the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, it's your last chance to do so, because at 10:01 a.m., we're off to Florida. In my mind, it's really Sunday.
Yeah. Everybody. Oh yeah.
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 But in my mind,
we're going to be like the Golden Girls.
That's right. My mind, I might be already gone. In my mind,
I assume they were in Florida and the Golden Girls.
Probably. Yeah. I would think so. So in the meantime, while we are at spring training, there will be football stuff going on. There's the combine going on next week. I would imagine there's lots of conversations going on between the Texans and guys that they've had in the building last year. You know, I don't know what the conversations are allowed to be with their own free agents. I'm guessing they can talk to all of them if they want to.
That is one of the big things when you start looking at the Texans' cap money. Okay, they've got $4 million and $5 million in cap space, but they also have a lot of guys that they want to have around that are not big names, but guys that are like an Eric Murray or whomever else like that.
Sure.
That if you want to retain, it's going to cost you a few million dollars.
Eric Murray, I think probably one or two of those guys on the D-line interior, either Mario Edwards or Foley Fatakasi.
Yeah.
They fit that. They kind of fit that bill as well. So they've got so Jonathan Alexander has a piece in the Chronicle that's really good. Like how the title of it is, how can the Texans save $30 million on the cap with restructuring deals and possible cuts? And it sounds like to me, Seth, that $5 million number of cap space that they've got right now actually has the increase baked into it. So whatever numbers have been coming out from the league have been anticipating some sort of increase. Either way. Regardless, they need to open up more cap space to do some things. We should also point out that Derek Stingley Jr. is in line for a contract extension.
Yeah.
You know,
which doesn't, that's usually, that doesn't hit you right away. That hits you down the road.
No, sometimes that even helps depending on how you're able to structure it. It can give you some immediate cap relief knowing that there's some big pills to swallow down the road. So Jonathan Alexander cites a few things that could help the Texans get in position to pounce on some moves here or retain some guys. Contracts that can be restructured, which basically means you're either extending somebody or you're turning salary into bonus money and spreading it out over some future dummy years. Daniil Hunter is one of them. Nico Collins is one of them. Azeez Al-Shaair is the third one that he has here. All as possible restructures where they could save. Jonathan even does the calculations here. For Daniil Hunter, a simple restructure could open up $13 million in cap space. Nico Collins could open up $8 million in cap space. And then Azeez Al-Shaair, almost $6 million in cap space.
He also added in there extending Laremy Tunsil as well.
Oh, did he really? Okay.
Yeah, that's down near the bottom.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it's also on the bottom of my power rankings of how much I love these.
Yes.
I do. I don't want to lose Laremy Tunsil immediately just because he is a very, very good pass protector. I do think that he tried to commit to being more of an overall player in the second half of the season. I think when it comes down to the money you're spending and just the core swarminess of guys you want on the offense, which right now lacks a whole lot of swarm, I want guys who are more physical and more more into run blocking and everything else. So I power ranked them thusly, Sean.
Okay.
The number one that makes the absolute 100% most sense is some kind of a Daniil Hunter extension.
Yes.
He signed a 2-year deal, really good 2-year deal for him because it was almost completely guaranteed.
Yeah.
Played his butt off, played really, really well. I would imagine liked being here. And it's just a question of, all right, does Daniil Hunter look at this as, all right, he's at an age where he might only get one more really big contract. Would he be willing to just kick the can down the road just on another 1-year extension, or does he want something more than that?
Yeah, how important is it for him to be on a team that's in position to say they're a Super Bowl contender with a straight face? He's from here. You know, which I think is noteworthy in all this. I'm with you. Like, that's the one. If the shakeout of all this, because look, ultimately they're gonna do a bunch of things that are gonna open up cap space. It's just a question of which things to do. I'm 100%. If the shakeout of all this is that Daniil Hunter is committed to be a Houston Texan for longer than 2025, I am all for, and they get cap space out of it. Do it.
Well, and just one thing to maybe be mindful of, or don't be surprised if it happens, is it got a little bit dramatic before his final year in Minnesota when he wanted a new deal, too. So, you know, and Daniil's never a guy that's going to be sending messages through social media or anything, but that there, it might come from his side. He's done, you know, he's kind of put pressure on an organization before, so that might be something that, and I would imagine if I'm the Texans, I'd like to keep him around for a couple more years.
Yes. He doesn't show any signs of slowing down, you know?
No.
What's number two on your power ranking of opening up cap space?
The one that I feel really good about is Nico Collins, if he extended his. The only thing that I'm torn on in that one is that I do like the motivational quality of being on a short-term deal. As a matter of policy, just for the team, you get guys on 3-year deals, and they've got that carrot on the stick.
In Jonathan's scenario, his contract wouldn't get extended. they would just turn his salary this year into bonus and spread it out over
just a restructuring.
Yeah. So the
that makes sense too.
Yeah. And Nico is a guy. Look, I know his body hasn't cooperated with him at various times, but that's not a guy who I feel like any sort of extension or restructure is going to move him emotionally one way or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's pretty dialed in. What's next for you on the power?
So a lot of this is just how I feel about it.
Sure.
Like, more so than all the numbers involved and everything.
Yep.
My next one would be to cut Shaq Mason.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one because you don't have a huge net savings against cap. You get about $2 million extra on the cap, but you're also taking a $10 million cap dead money hit. But I think there's certain guys on this team who are in their 30s and playing like they're in their 30s.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that I just you gotta rip off the Band-Aid at some point and fix this offensive line.
Jonathan points out that if you do Shaq Mason's cut as a post June 1st,
yeah.
Those who don't know, if you do post June, if you designate it as we're cutting him, but the date is going to be June 1st, we do it. You're allowed to spread the dead money over a couple of years. If you do it post June 1st, it actually, according to Jonathan, saves you $9.4 million in this year's cap.
That you have to kick on down the road. And teams don't use that nearly as often as you might expect.
Yeah.
And just to get, not to get more, you can designate somebody a June 1st cut even if you don't, even if you cut them in March.
Yeah.
So it's kind of complicated. But, one way or the other, I think it makes sense. It's time to move on. But that's also going to depend on what you do in free agency in the draft, obviously.
What's next on the list for you?
My next most appetizing one would be to either extend or restructure Azeez Alshire.
Yep.
And part of that is just part of it is that I'm kind of waiting to see what Christian Harris does this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Henry Toa Toa as well. Toa Toa made a lot of improvement, but he still has more improving to do. Christian Harris, I want to see him with a full season in this defense and completely healthy, and maybe they get a really good feel for if he's the guy for the future.
Yeah. The team loves Azeez Alshire, so I think I don't think they have any problem doing anything that it strengthens the commitment between the two sides.
Yeah, you know? I guess it's just how long into the future do you want to extend
it? Sure. Yep. And what's next? There's a few more things they can do here.
Cutting Danico Autry.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I'm really torn on this one. I really love the way he plays, but he's going to be 35 years old. He was suspended this year because after a year in which he had a career year, he tested positive for PEDs.
Yep.
And his explanation is that it was a mix-up at the pharmacy, but he had a career year, and then the next year got popped for PEDs, and then he was injured all this year when he was back, and he's 35 years old. I think that's it would just make sense, and it's a respectable cap gain if you cut him.
All right, let's see if I can have Nick Caserio sell you on not cutting Danico Autry.
Danico, I mean, this guy's a badass. I mean, this guy's a junkyard dog. Like, if you go into a dark alley, like, you want this guy behind you. Like, this is a bad MF-er. I mean, and a really good football player.
All right.
Yeah. You know who else is a bad MF-er?
Who?
Jumbo Elliott. If I were in a bar fight today, Jumbo Elliott, who's probably 60 years old right now, I would want him next to me in a bar fight. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to pay him $10 million to be injured all year.
To protect your quarterback. I get it.
Okay. Yeah.
I get it. What's last on your – I'm looking at your list. So cut Danico Autry. And I'm kind of torn on that one too. Like, when Danico Autry was good this year, he was really good this year, you know. But it was sporadic. You're right.
Extending Laremy Tunsil would be last on my list.
Yeah.
I think you play it out with Laremy Tunsil and get the most out of him. Maybe some other guys develop. Maybe you draft an offensive tackle this year who surprises us and does really well. And at some point you move on from Laremy Tunsil. I don't want to give up his pass protection at this point with a very still young CJ Stroud. But at some point you've already the fifth highest paid offensive line in the league last year.
Yeah.
And I just want them to spend their money more judiciously. I'd rather have five average offensive linemen than one super high priced pass protection specialist and a bunch of other guys who can't do their job.
Yeah. And I'd almost rather they address, they've got definite positions they need to address: depth at wide receiver, starting interior offensive lineman, the interior of the defensive line. I think of all of them that I would want to address through free agency, it would be the interior of the offensive line and find some guys who who they vet through the same filter of swarm that they've done such a good job on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, find me some swarminess.
Yeah, like proven commodity, but to your point, it doesn't have to be, like at that position, it does not have to be $20 million elite commodity.
I do think that Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson have swarm potential. It's just they've got to be well-coached in the right scheme and everything else. Those guys have swarm potential.
Yeah.
But the by and large, it's not a very swarmy offensive line.
No, it's not. All right, text in 713-572-4610. The Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Asked you guys to send in, what do you want Seth and I to have eyes on for you? This is our last segment before we head down to West Palm Beach for ball, for some baseball. Thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us out there. We'll read some of them that you guys are sending in here to the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, coming up next. Final segment, we'll talk to the guys on In the Loop as well and get you ready for their show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. Final segment of the week. Text in 713-572-4610. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. We have a few residual texts from the breaking news. Literally treated it as breaking news on SportsCenter, but I guess it's a big deal. The Yankees are revising their facial hair policy. I literally had two people text me, have you guys seen this? I guess it's bigger news than I'm giving it credit for.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised. This seems like the kind of thing that you would be all about. I don't know why I think that,
no,
but you just scoffed it off. Like this is for the peasants.
No, I'm all about it. But as you know, I'm all about a lot of topics that aren't treated as breaking news on a major sports network. I was just curious that it was treated that way.
That's right. Yeah, the breaking news part of it is interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel, this is a classic, like, oh, it must be a slow news day. Yeah.
And I assure you that if, say, I don't know, the Mariners had a facial hair policy in place for four decades.
Okay, good call.
That would not have been breaking news on SportsCenter.
You see, ESPN, this is why MLB doesn't want to work with you no more.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's a big deal, man. ESPN and MLB just divorcing each other.
Mutually parting ways.
Yeah, I wonder if they're still going to be friends. You know, now that they're divorced.
They claim that they might get back together, right, just at a different rate.
This is like a relationship.
Yeah. I don't know. That's like a woman being like, yeah, maybe we'll get back together if you have a less well-paying job.
Mm-hmm.
Let's circle back, and maybe if you're a little bit more broke, we'll get back together.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. I say that because a text message, longtime Yankees fan with long hair and a beard here. I like the policy because it was unique. It made the team look different and annoyed other fan bases. A win-win. I will say that, like, it is kind of cool. Even if you hate a team, it's fun as a fan when they have a brand that they lean into. And that was definitely baked into the New York Yankees, that facial hair thing.
The other thing where the Yankees try to act like they're better than everybody else is not having the names on the jerseys, and I despise that.
Yeah.
Which, okay, great. Listen, not every player is Don Mattingly, all right? Out of this AAA call-up that you've got out there, I'm just like, I'd like to know who the hell that is that just made that play.
Yeah. Notre Dame did that for a long time. When Lou Holtz first got there, he took the names off the back of the jersey. Because it's about the helmet and the lady on the dome, not the name on the back of the jersey, okay? So he took them off, but now they've, like, Notre Dame's realized we got to step into the 21st century here. Oh, yeah, there's names on the back again, for sure.
We're allowed to let you be an individual.
Yes. So things that fans may want us to keep an eye on at spring training. Seth and I are headed to West Palm Beach this weekend. We will be broadcasting live from our Airbnb. You'll be able to watch on YouTube and Twitch from our Airbnb. Kind of excited about this Airbnb. It's pretty nice. Keep an eye on Altuve in left field. Okay, this is a good list right here. This is one texter. Keep an eye on Altuve in left field, Cam Smith at third base, Bryce Matthews at second base while in West Palm Beach.
That coincides with pretty much all of our action items.
Yes.
And just second base in general, I think. Now, it's going to be – now, we will, because we're trying to give you the whole fan experience, we will heavily weight the one individual spring training game that we watch in which we might see a guy for three innings.
Mm-hmm.
We'll weight that above any other data, information, intelligence, or anything else like that.
Yep.
If I see somebody play really well in one single spring training game for a few innings, that's my guy.
Dude.
Likewise, you let up a three-run home run, you're dead to me, Hunter Brown.
You know I'm going to do this stuff. Is this you clowning me right now? You know these are the things that I do.
I'm clowning you. I don't think you're that bad, are you?
I'm pretty bad.
It's going to be hard at second base because you got so many different guys competing.
Yeah.
I think the big one is with the prospects, the young guys, that's where we're probably I'm gonna totally fan out, and if I see some really good stuff out of those guys, I might go overboard in how pro ready they are.
Yeah, they're starting.
Or I get how major league ready they are.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm like Bryce Matthews at the plate. Like that's what I'm ready to see. Like how much has he improved at hitting big league caliber off speed stuff. This is an interesting one. Someone says see how Pena plays in spring training. Defensively Pena, that might be something to watch. He was inconsistent last year defensively. Derwin sends in a good one. Especially considering all the leadership that's been exported over the last couple of years, particularly this offseason. Who does the emotional leader appear to be? Who's the guy that does the things like Carlos Correa was doing? You know, like that's outwardly.
Yeah.
And I think
without Bregman there, it's how Bregman's leadership was more understated, so you can't really glean that.
Yeah. Correa's leadership. But we can ask the guys in the clubhouse when we're interviewing them that question about like who's filling that void. Now for his part in this, Joe Espada has said he expects Jeremy Pena now with Alex Bregman gone to be a guy that's stepping up into a leadership role. So that'd be kind of interesting to see if he's a guy that guys are gravitating towards. Correa's leadership was real, but there was definitely a sales element to it. 100% a sales, and it was very effective. Got him paid. You know what I mean?
You know what? I'll have to have Brandy watch on the televised games, Pena's split step. You know, she's a split step connoisseur now.
She is. Yeah.
She coaches it in volleyball, where it's not a lot of volleyball coaches don't still adopt the split step. Where in baseball, you take a little hop when the ball crosses the plate because it puts you in a really good position to take that first step. So she watches a lot of the infielders a lot more closely than I do with that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So Brandy will be our remote scout. For that.
Remote? What is
it? I'll ever dial in on Pena.
Please do.
Are we allowed to? We're allowed to take video while we're there, right?
Oh yeah, they're games. Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. Absolutely. No, it's not like training camp with the Texans where it's like a cameras down period.
We did last time we were there. We took a lot
for
of video
sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Is someone saying we should check and see if Luis Garcia is really as fat as he looks in the videos? Okay, I haven't seen any of the videos. Does Luis Garcia
has never looked like the picture of peak male performance?
No, but he's never looked like a slob either. Like he's a bigger guy. He's sturdy, I would say. But Luis Garcia, man, like Joe Espada is putting it out there about Garcia and McCullers. Like he's starting to apply actual parts of the calendar to these guys, saying like he wouldn't be surprised with Lance if it's by the end of April that he's back pitching again. And again, that's something I let myself get excited about. You're much more measured than I am on this stuff, Seth. That's why it's good.
I was looking at last year, as I was trying to Google the picture of Luis Garcia. Mm-hmm. Last year, I forgot this. A slimmed down Framber Valdez reports the spring training. I vaguely remember that he had changed his body type a little bit last year, but
really?
I don't know.
I feel like he's got one of those body types that even if he did CrossFit, he would look the way he does. Like, he's just so... Like, he's a rectangle.
I've seen people accuse him of being overweight before where I think they were misinterpreting thickness for fatness. He's just a solid dude.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so it sounds like we're going to go be walking around. Maybe this is an old-timey scout thing that we're going to be doing, walking around judging body types while we're out there. Is Luis Garcia really fat? Oh, the texter follows up, said, I just heard he was bigger than normal. Well, it doesn't mean he's fat. God. Doesn't mean he's fat.
He's got a physique that would be tough, kind of like a... Like a lot of stockier guys, it's kind of tough to tell whether... You know, like when a muscular guy wears a suit, sometimes they look like they're fat. Some of the guys on TV, you're like, oh, that guy's kind of pudgy. Then you meet him in your person, and you're like, oh, he's all rocked up. Like the Fox Sports dude there, the little guy with the beard, the bald head.
Jake Glazer. Yeah.
He looks like on TV, you look at him, and you're like, yeah, you look kind of pudgy. And then you see him train in MMA.
Yeah.
And when I met him in person for the first time, I was like, holy crap, he's just rocked up.
He's just stocky. Yeah. He's in his head, you know, and I can say this because I share this same attribute. His head is perfectly round. You know, when you've got a perfectly round head like that and you're covering up the rest of your body, there's a tendency to think that everything's round. You know what I mean? Like that you're a little more rotund.
Soggy Bacon Offense on Twitter told me that if you want to look like a scout, windbreaker and iPad. That's what the scouts wore when I went to a Space Cowboys game. Don't talk, don't smile. Yeah, okay. Windbreaker. Well, no windbreaker. It's going to be 70, mid to high 70s.
Right.
But the iPad,
No, but we want to be old-timey. They didn't have iPads from the era that they had. Someone suggested earlier, like, stopwatches that we bring also.
Like with an actual dial, an old needle. Analog stopwatch. Yeah, mechanical one.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not even lying. I'm going to order some of this stuff on Amazon to arrive at my place tomorrow. I am going to come... with the old-timey scout kit. You know what I mean? Like a DIY old-timey scout box. That's going to be fun. We had a text talking about Danico Autry here it is. Y'all crazy. I wouldn't cut Danico Autry. He's a beast. Am I missing something?
No, I explained it. You're missing that he's 35 years old and he was injured as 34-year-olds tend to be. And typically with 34-year-olds who get injured a lot, who are coming off of a PED suspension, don't all of a sudden show up at 35 with no PEDs and play all 17 games. That's been my experience, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
I say this as a guy who became very injury prone towards the end of his career. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
You fight against the dying light, but it doesn't matter. It's just not as good. Yes, he's awesome when he's in there and healthy. But he wasn't awesome when he was in there and not healthy.
Yep.
He was awesome for a very particular segment of time when he was healthy and in there. That's all I can tell you. He's 35 years old.
Yeah. That person didn't hear you. I needed them to hear that a second time. So they heard. Did you hear it? Do those of you in the back hear Seth on Danico Autry right now?
And I love the way he plays. I think everything about him is an embodiment of, it pains me to say that I think that you should potentially move on from him. But this is what happens in sports. Guys get into their mid-30s and they're not the same guy.
Yep, especially when there's cap savings involved. Yes. We need tobacco in our mouth and baseball shades with a marker in your hat. That's from Axe. I'm not chewing tobacco. I may get some big league chew or something like that, you know.
What's more unhealthy in the short term? A week of putting a chaw in or gobs enough big league chew to make it look like you've got tobacco in.
The tobacco, because the few times I've even had tobacco, I get sick. Like I don't get sick off a bit. For me, yeah. Man, I remember the first time I ever dipped in the room. The room was probably already spinning a little bit, but then I stuck a dip in, and that was like Stone Cold Steve Austin with the stunner, man.
So, I've never actually done chewing tobacco.
I haven't either.
I've dipped, but I've never done chewing tobacco. Maybe they probably don't allow it.
What's
in the park,
the one?
Though, huh?
What's the one? Oh, Redman was the one they used to chew back in the day. Yeah, Redman. Yeah. And they'd have bags of it in the dugout in the clubhouse. John Lopez probably remembers those days. They used to distribute tobacco to the players. It was free tobacco for everybody, right?
Yeah, I remember that. And I remember smoking on in the clubhouse and locker rooms. It was always cool. You go into a locker room. Basketball. Like when I started covering basketball in the late 80s, you'd go into a locker room and there's just guys sparking up cigarettes everywhere.
Who's the biggest chain smoker in basketball?
Caldwell Jones.
Best known for being traded for Moses Malone.
After every game, he would have two Budweisers and a pack of cigarettes sitting on the top of his locker.
That's what I call recovery.
Yeah. Would you just sit down next to him and just pull out a heater of your own?
No.
Have him regale you with stories?
I've never been a smoker other than, you know, the occasional cigar, as you know now. But I was an idiot that did a lot of dip back in the day. And
really?
Oh, yeah. It was awful.
Did Jan get you off of it?
Jan was one. And it's interesting, funny story. So Jacob was like 4 years old, and I took him to my oldest. He's now 30. How old are you, Figgy? 37, 36, something like that. He's in that range. And I took him to the driving range, and I was hitting some golf balls, and he had his little plastic set of golf clubs.
Yeah.
And I put a dip in, and he looked at me, goes, "Dad," 4 year old, looking at me straight dead in the eye, "why are you putting dirt in your mouth?"
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great question.
And I just like stopped.
Yeah. Right there, huh?
Yeah. Well,
it
took me like two or three tries. It's hard. Yeah. They say it's harder to quit.
Not judging.
They say it's harder to quit dip than like some heavy duty drugs.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the thing about one of the really hard things about cigarettes and tobacco in general, or dip in general, is that it doesn't come, because you can get away with it and it's easily available. And like if you're drinking at 7 in the morning, people notice eventually, where you can step out for a cigarette or something and it doesn't affect your job performance and all that. Like the immediate punishment isn't nearly the same as it is with a lot of other drugs, and your life doesn't spiral out of control. So it makes it's very hard to hit rock bottom other than knowing that you're just drastically increasing your chances of something that's going to happen in the distant future. Plus, and as humans, we don't operate with distant future stuff. So
you're not wrong there. Plus, I think one of the things about cigarettes in particular, like outside of the added benefit of like whatever the actual nicotine brings you, it's kind of great to get like a free 15-minute break at work.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, it's built into our society that you can just get a nice break just to go get a cigarette.
Yeah, that's the part where it is detrimental to your work life.
It makes me mad sometimes.
There's the same people downstairs every day where we park, sitting there smoking. I'm like, you must have an incentive built into your contract for number of cigarettes smoked.
Sean calls them crumb bums.
I do.
He yells at them. Yeah. Scram, you crumb bums.
I love crumb bum. That's one of my favorite insults.
Hey, what's your guys' question of the day?
Oh, wow. Look at this.
We're ready.
A Pavlovian response from Seth there. All right. Yeah. Question of the day, inspired by the Yankees getting rid of the facial hair ban. Where are you old school? Like, what is your old school perspective on appearance?
Oh, for tattoos for me.
Oh, really?
A neck tattoo. Face tattoos have gotten alarmingly common. And I respect it. I respect the game. If you want to go there, it's just, I feel bad that I still kind of have that. I get that initial, like, what's this guy feel when I see a face tattoo? So I'm a little ashamed of myself that I'm judging a book by its cover when I see that.
Can't wait to tell Jelly Roll what you think of him.
I'll tell you one of mine.
I don't want this guy managing my books. What's his name? Tell me Jelly Roll.
That probably is not going to help either. Right? Like, he's in the interview setting. All right.
An accountant's name, Jelly Roll.
Yeah. I'm interested in yours, Sean. Just a little tease. I've got others, but one that it's to this day, pull up your damn pants.
Yeah.
Pull up your damn pants.
Yeah. Okay, mine, I'm with you on that one. And the tattoos also. Mine is more, I may not be answering directly the question. Mine is more something that annoys me appearance.
Sure.
If you still part your hair in the middle, like we did back in the 80s.
That's a great one.
You will not let that go.
I hate that.
That
is, and it's feathered and in part in the middle.
Did you used to do that?
Of course. In 1985.
He went into Command Performance and said, "Give me the Chachi."
Exactly. I want the Scott Baio. Yes. Oh, man. So I don't know if that fits the mold of what you're looking
for. I'll take it.
For
sure.
No, okay, good, good, good. All right. Well, let's get out of the way of greatness here, Seth, because this show is going to be popping today on In the Loop. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking around.
Yeah, yeah.
That's on you, man. You got to do this.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Seth, I'll see you in West Palm Beach. Antibodies
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, antibodies, and I will see you in the land of really wide parking spots.
Indeed.
Shout out to Costco.
Yes.
Costco has the best parking the best parking spaces in the land.
Yes, and samples all over the place inside the building.
Yeah.
We love that.
You can fit 3 bushels of cheap hot dogs in one of those parking spots. No problem at all.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, we are done. We are out of time. Next you hear from us will be from West Palm Beach. Big thanks again to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for sending us there. Thank you to all of you for listening. We look forward to getting back with you Monday at 6 a.m. You're listening to KILT AM, KILT FM, HD2 Houston, and Odyssey Sports Station.